There are times when I, and I say this with fear and reverence, but there are times when I especially feel that I have the message for the hour. I say this with fear, not presumption, but there are just times that I truly do feel that I'm supposed to preach this message right now in this service. And I believe the Lord has given me that feeling this morning. And the reason is because I tried as hard as I could to go to a different text. And the reason I tried to do that is because we're in this text all the time. All the time. And I just tried sincerely to go to a different text. But the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, would not let me do it. He just concreted my heart to these words. And I just had to be here. So for that reason, I want us to slowly read down through this and just enjoy what our Lord has written here. All right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If we want to know the mind and the will and the purpose and the work of God, all of that is very plainly, very simply laid out in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to encourage you. You know, I saw all your faces. You love Ephesians 1. I said Ephesians 1. Everybody's like, all right. You've heard this so many times. I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord in your heart right now to open this up to you. Ask Him to open this up to you. Ask Him to open my eyes that I may see. And here's why I say this. I want you to see. Now, I want me to see. But I have you in my mind and in my heart individually. Your name and your face. And I'm telling each one of you, I want you to see. And I want you to hear. I want you to believe. I want you to understand. Ask the Lord. Lord, salvation is of you, and today is the day. He said, today is the day of salvation. Would you speak to my heart in the way that broken children of God cry, I've heard your voice. Not out loud, but right in here. Ask the Lord to open your eyes, open your ears, open your understanding, open your heart. Lord, make me yours today. Make me no longer a servant and child of the world. Let me be yours today. Ask Him that. Ask Him that. We don't beg anybody to do anything, but I'm begging you, ask Him that. Okay? May God do that for me. You pray that for me. I'll pray that for you, and you pray that for me, okay? Ephesians 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. What that means is, Paul is speaking God's word. That's what it means. That's why it says that. The prophets and the apostles, they were moved by the Spirit of God to say God's actual words. God's actual words. This is not Paul's opinion. This is not Paul's teaching. This is God's teaching. These are God's very words. Hold your place right here in Ephesians and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men. And what that means is separated men, set apart men, particular men for the job and work and service of doing this. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is God's word. This is God's word. That's what it means when it says Paul, an apostle. It means this is worthy of all acceptation. You can take this to the bank. This is God's word. This is what I would love to tell everybody. I'm not interested in anybody believing me as a preacher. But I'm interested in everybody believing God. And if you ever hear me not preaching God's word, stop listening to me and go find a man who will preach God's word to you. Because this is all that matters. This is God's word. All right, now, go with me to Ephesians 1. Back to Ephesians 1. Verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That means he's saying, this is what God wants me to say. He said, I was made to be an apostle by the will of God. God did this. He made me to be an apostle. I didn't make myself to be an apostle. And he's saying, everything that I'm about to tell you is according to his will. God is saying this. All right, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, those who have been filled with faith, faithful in Christ Jesus. He said right here, I am writing to a particular people. Do we see that? I'm writing to a particular people. Turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That means the whole world. That's what it means. All flesh. All right, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's not the whole world. That's a particular people. Verse 6. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Them specifically. Verse 9, he said, I pray for them. Father, I'm praying right now to you. I'm making intercession to you for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. This word, the Bible, the scripture, the promise of this word, the good news of this word is not written to everybody. Salvation is not promised to the entire world. Now, I'll tell you, I just said that a moment ago in the Bible study. We just acknowledged that and dealt with that, right? Now, I'm saying here, salvation is not promised to the entire world. I'm saying it again. Why is it so important that we declare that to men and women? Why is it so important that we continually bring that up? Why is it so important that the Word of God continually brings that up? Why does the Word say that over and over and over? Here's why. This is important. Here's why. It's because the very credibility and authority and power of God depends on it. All right, now let me explain what that means. If God loved a person, but the person ended up going to hell, and I don't even like saying that word, but if God loved a person, and that person was told that, and the person could say, God loves me, but the person ended up going to hell, what good would God's love be to that person or to anybody else? What difference would it make whether a person said, God loves me? What difference would it make? If it could not save, if God loved a person, but that love could not save, what difference would it make whether God loved a person or not? If Christ shed His blood for a person, if He came and died and gave His life and emptied His body of all of His blood, shed His blood for a person, but that person ended up going to hell anyway. If it could be said, if the person could say, Christ died for me, but the person ended up going to hell anyway, then what confidence could we have in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What confidence could we have? What would His blood and His death mean in salvation? If He made a payment for a person's sin, a particular person's sin, and the person went to hell anyway, what good would that payment be? What would be the value and the worth and the matter of that payment? If God wills for somebody to be saved, if God wants somebody to be saved, but the person is not saved and ends up going to hell, you know, and well, God didn't want that to happen, but that's what happened. If that's the case, and I say this so fearfully, but if that's the case, Christ is a failure. And Christ is not a failure. And salvation is not up to chance. Every soul that God loved, God saved. And every soul that Christ shed His blood for, He saved. And every soul that the Spirit calls is going to come running to the God who saved him. Or running to the God who saved her. That's why it is so important that we be very, very clear in declaring and in understanding who our Lord is speaking to in these promises. His very authority, His very power, His very credibility depends on it. This is the very mind and the very will and the very purpose and the very work of God. This is what He came to do. This is who He came to do it for. And this is exactly what He did. Now go with me back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you. Grace be to you. What does grace mean? It means free gift. free gift. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace. What does peace mean? It means, here's the definition of the word, it means truce. It means unity. It means reconciliation. It means friendship. And it means accord. One accord. Verse 2 says, grace and peace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. They, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are the ones who authored grace and peace. You want to fall in love with God? Get a hold of that. They are the ones who authored grace and peace. They are the ones who executed grace and peace. They are the ones who brought grace and peace to us. Not us to them. Them to us. Salvation is of the Lord. Start to finish, salvation is of God. It is of God. It's something that He purposed in His mind and in His heart before He ever made the world. It's something that He purposed to a particular people before He ever made people. It's something that Christ secured on the cross of Calvary. Something Christ finished and forever settled in heaven before any of us were ever even born. That means it's of God. Salvation is God's doing. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The only way that a sinner, and whenever I say a sinner, what I mean is me, and I mean you. The only way that a sinner can receive a blessing from God is by being in Christ. That's the only way. In Christ. It is not going to be in his or her good works. We just had a Bible study on let's do good and not do bad. I encourage good works, but salvation is not going to be in any good works. No good works. It is not going to be in a sinner's church membership. You know, we all are here. We want to be here. We need to be here. I identify with this assembly. This is where I go to church. Salvation is not in that. It is not going to be in what any sinner gives. Sometimes, you know, people give to ease the conscience. Well, let me give something to ease the conscience. It's not going to be in what anybody gives up. Well, I need to stop doing that. It is only going to be in Christ. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does that mean? What is it to be in Christ? It's to be chosen in Him. It's to be predestinated in Him. It's to be adopted in Him. It's to be accepted in Him. It's to be redeemed in Him. And it's to be forgiven in Him. All right, let's just read down through this together. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, who chose who? Who did the choosing? Turn with me over to John 15. John 15, verse 16. This is our Lord speaking. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." He did all the choosing in salvation. There was only one choice made in our salvation, and it was the Lord God's. It was His choice. He did the choosing. And when did our text say He did the choosing? We read it there in Ephesians 1. When did it say He did the choosing? Turn with me over to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 11, it says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." It was before anybody was born. Before anybody was born. It was before anything had been done. Now, why did God do it that way? Why did He do it then? You ever asked that question? Why did he do it that way? Why did He choose to do it then? Well, go back to our text and we'll find out. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." We were chosen to be purified, chosen to be washed, chosen to be guiltless, holy and without blame. Verse 5 says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." He predestinated us. Think about that word. He predestinated us. He predetermined our destination. He predetermined everything about us. What we would be, where we would be, how we would be. Predestinated. Years ago, I love this story. Years ago, Brother Henry Mahan had a TV broadcast, and he preached the gospel on it every week. And because of that, every now and then, he would be recognized. And one day, he was playing golf with another man, and they were hot, they were thirsty, and they saw a gas station across the street. So they said, "Let's run over there real quick and get us something to drink." So they did. And when he put his drink on the counter, he noticed that the man at the register had a brand new Bible sitting on the counter. And Brother Henry said, "That's a nice Bible you have there." And the man looked at him and he said, "Thank you." He said, "I know who you are. You're the preacher on TV, aren't you?" And Brother Henry said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You believe in predestination, don't you?" And Brother Henry said, "Well, I don't know. What does the Bible say about it?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, let me see your Bible. Let's see if we can find out." So he turned to Ephesians 1, verse 5. It says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." Okay. Then he turned over to Romans 8, where it says, "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." He said, "Oh, okay. So predestination is what makes us to be just like Christ. He said, you want to be just like Christ, don't you? And the man said, oh, yeah, I sure do. He said, well, then you believe in predestination, too. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be just like Jesus Christ, holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, our question we asked a minute ago, why did he do it that way? Why did he choose and predestinate before the foundation of the world? The end of verse 5 says, because it was according to the good pleasure of his will. That's the reason why. This is God. Who are we to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you do that? This is God. Whatever God wants to do, that's what God Almighty does. And if it is according to the good pleasure of his will, that's what happens. Isaiah 43 says nobody can stop him. And it says he doesn't have to get permission from anybody. King Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, he does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? It's God. Everything that he did for undeserving sinners like us, he didn't do it because we earned it. He didn't do it because we deserved it. He didn't do it because he owed it to us in any way, shape, or form. It was just according to the good pleasure of his will. And that's why verse 6 says it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was all his free gift. Therefore, he gets all the glory for it. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. When Christ bore our sin in his body on the tree. Think about that statement. When Christ bore our sin in his body on the tree, he removed our sin from us. And the moment our sin and our sins were gone, God the Father said, welcome in. Holy, without blame, sinless, welcome in. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Christ. In Christ. Verse 7 is our last verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Do you know why God's chosen sinners are forgiven? It's not because of anything we do. It's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the whole reason. That is the whole reason. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? What can redeem me? And what can cause God to forgive me? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other fount, I know. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That right there, honestly, that right there is one of the clearest declarations in the Scripture. That has to be one of the clearest declarations in the Scripture of the mind and the will and the purpose and the work of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It has to be. That's a clear declaration of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to leave you with this. If God has given us eyes to see this, it would shock you how many people read that and say, I don't believe that. It would shock you. If God has given us eyes to see this, and a mind to understand this, and a heart to believe this, and a hope to honestly cling to this, if God has given us that, then we are among the sinners who have been blessed in Christ. We are. We're one of the ones who have been chosen in Him and predestinated in Him and adopted in Him and accepted in Him and redeemed in Him and forgiven in Him, because God reveals this to all of His people. He does. He does it through preaching. By His Spirit, He opens up the Word. He brings His people to see this. Every single one of His people, after seeing this, respond by saying, it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. All of it. Thank God for what He's done for us. Thank God. All right, let's all